Live, Discovery Paranormal, Tuesday, December 13th. We have special guest, best-selling author, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium, criminal profiler, and all-around good egg. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
It's going like a brick in a storm of snow. Uphill both ways. You know, but I don't know, it's good. I think it's good, you know. I mean, I think that the world is the world, and it was, I wanted to have you on the show to talk about all the cool stuff that you're doing, man. We're going to touch on everything that's going on, and then it's the Christmas season. This is kind of a Christmas show. What's our Christmas message to the world? Let's start off with that positive pounce.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody just do for another, you know, instead of thinking of yourself. Think of another.
Exactly. That's what it's all about, right? I mean, when it comes down to it, I think that from what it originally was, about all the good cheer, goodwill towards man, woman, whatever, and what it got perverted into a monetary type of, man, I have to spend all my money and put myself in debt for the next 8 months to satisfy this Christmas demon. You know what I mean? It's a Christmas demon.
Yeah.
You need to get an exorcist kit for Christmas and exorcise the Christmas demon out of your house. Be like, be gone, demon.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's become where, you know, how many presents you got me this year, and, you know, it's all commercialized, and it shouldn't be that way. It should be where we're thinking about other people. I mean, you know, just, you know, I'm not putting a damper on the show, but let's look at Aleppo. You know, and look at the people who are dying in the world, and here we are, a bunch of quacks running around, you know, thinking about, you know, what can I get, and it's, like you say, it's perverted in the most, you know, essential way that we got to turn this around and start thinking about other people.
So many people are into that narcissistic type of, like, poor me. I mean, like, and I don't want to sound mean or anything, but I'm probably going to come off sounding like that because, you know, I know I have people, like friends from high school, let's say there's one in particular I'm thinking of that is constantly out there posting, oh, you know, poor me, and I'm so depressed and whatever. And yeah, I get this depression, I get all that. This guy's got a beautiful house, beautiful family, great job, total security, no problems there, you know what I mean? And then maybe he just doesn't have enough. And I'm like, hey, volunteer your time, go help somebody, go do some. You know, I mean, anything that gets you out of the house where it's going to promote that kind of positive vibe. But it's always interesting that, in the same breath, I'll be looking at a picture of a teenage kid, you know, with cancer, sitting there with chemo, bald, and all these pipes coming out of him. And then you think that these other people have no problems whatsoever compared to the people out there that do have problems, or the people in Aleppo. You know, the people around the world suffering, people in sex trafficking right now, whatever. I mean, there's so many things going on and so much suffering, and that's the deal. We help people, right? You go to that season all year long, right? You help people, you make the world a better place.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, when you really get down to the gist of it, you know, we all on Facebook, we all have our noses up that Facebook crack. But I mean, you know, when we're there and you see these postings that are out there, some people going, there's a woman and she's, you know, a heroin addict and she's got one eye and the other eye has been taken out and she got arrested and she's prostituting herself. And then you see the comments from people saying, well, she, you know, she did it to herself. Well, you know, you don't know the backstory of this person's life. You don't know that she was probably put in the sex slave trade, couldn't get out. The reason why she lost her eye was because her pimp beat the hell out of her, and that's why she's there. And she's been force-fed these drugs, and that's the reason. You know, people don't look at the backstory. They only look at what they want to see, and, you know, and then they go back to their, like you said, you know, their silver spoon-fed life of a beautiful house and everything else, and, you know, they just don't get it. They don't. And
because
it's taken away from them.
Right, because the judgment is easy. It's like we're in a hood. You know, like the KKK wears a hood. They can say what they want. They're not showing their face. Nobody knows who they are even sometimes. And you look at these news articles and all the comments after, the terrible, disgusting, just raw, nasty stuff people say. about other human beings that might be going through something or whatever, you know, and then, you know, it's one thing if somebody makes a bed and they have to lie in it, right? It's another thing that people just living their lives, and then you, maybe the media gets on you about something, and you see people's lives get destroyed, and then people are commenting about it, you know, making fun of them or saying terrible things. It's disgusting, because it's just, it's a hood. It's anonymous in most cases. Or people get beer muscles, you know, like social media muscles, and they start saying these terrible things. And if you really look at someone in the eye, you're not going to say those terrible things like that. You know what I mean? I mean,
No, you're right. When you sit behind a keyboard, you're Superman. And, you know, it's just like the media. You know, it's not anymore about getting the truth out there. It's about being who's the first to get the story out, regardless of who you're going to hurt, who you're going to put down, who's going to have the story day the next day. They don't care as long as they get it out and they put it out there. And that's the same thing with anybody who has that type of mentality that go out and post on these superficial highways, I call them, which is, you know, the social media network. And they don't care who they hurt or what they feel. But you put them in a room of people, and it's a totally different thing. You know, you take that keyboard away from them.
Exactly, because all the people with their statements, racial and stuff and whatever, you know, it's one thing if you're just so detached from the world. And then there are people out there that just are haters. They're plain old haters, and they just want to go out there and hate. And they use that platform, they use social media just to go out there and pound away. And that, you know, it makes the situation worse. But we're at that day and age. And then our children, they're never going to understand what life is like without a screen and what life is like without that type of heavy judgment. Because it doesn't matter what you do. You can just make a simple statement on Facebook, dude, and people are all over you, man. And then you're like, really? You know, I can't speak my mind on my own damn thing, and, you know, what the hell is it all for?
Yeah, they use the premise of again, you know, 140 characters to make their point, but, you know, their point is they don't see beyond that page. They don't see the damage they cause. They don't see what they're trying to establish is really something that is a rooted hate. And, you know, it just transpires into much more beyond that. So, yeah, you know, people don't have the consciousness of really knowing what they're doing. I think a lot of people are, you know, blinded by their own stupidity.
And then it comes out in the media. They race bait. They play games. They do all that just to get people to watch. And then it comes out in people's real lives of what they feel, you know. But and you work with people, I mean, on a real level. People that have suffered incredibly, people that have suffered through, you know, families have suffered from murders and things like that. And you've helped the police, right? I mean, you know, solve these cases and help people heal. I mean, I can't even list what you do because there's just too much. You know what I mean? It's too much. Not including writing a bunch of books and all the great work you do. I mean, you know, helping people, consoling people, doing all that. But I mean, let's start with stuff that you want to talk about, like when it comes to murder, missing persons cases, any of that.
Yeah, you know, it's about people. I always keep it simple and simplistic. You know, I got nothing to hide. I speak the truth. You don't like it, you know, too bad. Turn away, go away. You don't like it. That's just how I am. You know, I just got back from Washington, and there was two cases in Maryland that I helped the DSA and the sheriff's office, and, you know, and being out there. You know, it's devoting your life to helping others. And in retrospect, when you look back at stuff, you know, being a taker in life, you're not going to get anywhere. It's what you put in the life that you get places. So that's my philosophy. That's what I feel, and that's me. It doesn't mean it's you or anybody else. But, you know, when you see people who sit there and they say these harsh things and, you know, about other people, and they just don't get it. They don't get it. The real life is, like you say, I'm out there and I'm doing what I do. You know, like Washington and then, you know, all around doing these different cases. I got another one out of Oklahoma. A police officer's niece was murdered in Georgia, and it happened to be a Hispanic man who now crossed the border into Mexico. So So now we're tailing this guy. You know, and then there's another one, two children missing in out of Minnesota. Like, it's never ending. My office is continual. That's the real. So the real is people and the love for people. You know, but when we try to put the demographic of the social media and the aspect of people putting all their little points out there and, you know, and the trivial little, oh, I had a hard day, and like you say, that guy in his house and whatever, people don't understand what a real hard day is until you look in the eyes of a mother, and the mother who has, you know, just lost her baby and want her back.
Right. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of cover-ups, there's a lot of not knowing, there's a lot of cold cases, there's a lot of, you know, sometimes you just have police agencies where maybe they, you know, aren't the best at doing that type of thing. You get what you got, right? You know, you're subjected to the area that you're in anyway. You know, it's rough, man, because I'm a PI, so I work with a lot of that, and it's up and down, you know, and some places they're tight and straight on, some places they're not. You know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know?
But you're a psychic medium, so, I mean, the stuff that you see it in your mind's eye, right?
Well, that's it. You know, I see, like, you know, when somebody's playing a game, I see 10 feet ahead of them. So it's kind of like I go along with it, and then when the cat's out of the bag, they look like the idiot. So, you know, when you say there's people covering up, I remember doing a case in Kentucky and looking at the coroner, and I asked him straight out when we were doing the minutes. We had the fire chief and we had the incoming sheriff, and I said, how did you become a coroner? And he said, well, they handed me a VHS tape, and I watched it for a week. And then I said, you watched it for a week, and then you did an operation on this woman. You have no medical background. But he goes, no. I can tell if a man had a heart attack just by looking at him. And I said, but that doesn't give you a medical degree, and it doesn't mean that you can do an autopsy. You know, and if you look at people like this, you go, where did you come from?
Right. Or you meet the demonologists who are like 19 years old, you know what I mean, who are like, you know, yeah, I know everything. Because we both do paranormal stuff. So, I mean, and I meet people that tell me the most astounding things. I'm like, you know what? I have underwear older than you. I'm not going to put people's age down. I'm just saying, you know, how much experience do you have? You know, this is your first time out, and you're a demonologist, really. You know,
I got a funny story told to me the other day by a good friend, and he said, this kid was 22 years of age. He said he was a demonologist. And then so I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you have to go, like, you know, seminary and learn this stuff. And you have to be, you know, either a priest. And you know, I've worked with the real priests from the Roman Catholic Church who do this, and, you know, and right down to the right thing. And this kid's 22, and I'm listening to the story that was being told to me. And he goes, well, what denomination are you? And there was a pause, he said. And he said, then the kid looked at me and said, I'm a Republican.
That's about right. Oh my God. And that's what people run into out there. And that's the problem that I think that we have with the whole paranormal world. Because there's so many people like, I don't believe this, I don't believe that. You know, they believe other stuff, but they, you know, I don't know. Belief is a hard thing, man. Once I think someone has it, it's hard for them to change it and get rid of it. But if someone doesn't have it, your scientific mind is going to stand up and say, listen, I don't believe anything I can't see or touch or whatever, you know. And then I show the pictures of ghosts, you know, spirits that people have crossed over. They're not around anymore. I, you know, where did they come from? I didn't fabricate it. I didn't do any of that stuff. It just is what it is. And then they can't wrap their mind around it. You know what I mean? And it, you use your abilities to solve murder cases.
Well, yeah, you give a good example, and I'm going to just jump to the left of that and say, you know, I got the murderer's name and where he lived and where the body was. And sure enough, the murderer's in jail, and we got the boy's body, and case closed. I mean, what scientific, you know, analysis can you come from that? And they still look at it and shake their head. The writing's on the wall, and, you know, they still can't believe what happens. But, you know, and then you turn around and you read the letters from the families, and they say, oh, he got my daughter out of the sex slave trade, in capital letters, alive. Well, you know, that's right from the mother's mouth telling you this.
Because in school, in education, they teach you a very basic level of life. They do not get into anything spiritual anymore. They don't delve, unless you're going to a school specifically that deals with that. Even that, even like, you know, Catholic schools and things like that, it's more of a corporation type of approach than a spiritual type of approach, you know. But I think that's why it's so hard for people to accept it, because people are limited. And then they're made to be limited, because I think that there's an air out there that doesn't want people to be spiritual. You know, like more like be a robot and pay attention and push that button and, you know, just obey. And then not let your spirit, because you know, once you let your spiritual self go, you fly. And then you become so big. I mean, you can extend. You know, in martial arts, man, we extend to the universe. You know what I mean? And it's a huge feeling. It's like you're no longer that little speck of flesh on some planet anymore. You're part of everything. And once you feel like you're part of everything, then you start thinking like that and making decisions like that and being really whole. You know? But people want to know. Go ahead.
No, that's true. I mean, we're all programmed anymore. It's like, you know, looking at the very part of when we first started, you know, Christmas is so commercialized, right? We're all programmed to believe that this is how it should be. But you say, and I agree totally 100%, you let yourself go, think outside that box, feel, you know, the spiritual edge on you, and nothing can stop you. You know, so, yeah, it's just the programming from the organizations, if you will.
That's the whole thing. I watched Megyn Kelly on Fox News say Santa Claus is white. And I'm thinking, you know what? it's such a primitive world we're in. You know what I mean? And I think that no matter what you are, who you are, if you want to look up to a fictional character, that character could be anything you want it to be. You know, and when it comes down to it, our problems in life, some of it comes from past lives, I believe that, and we can talk past lives, because we know a lot about it, you know? But first, I don't want to lose track. How do you, like, see these things? Like, how do you solve, I know that you said that one police officer gave you a map of the state and said, find it. I mean, how do you go about doing that from, I mean, I'm an investigator. I collect evidence and I put that evidence together as tangible because it's right there in front of me, and then I kind of can add my critical thinking to it and solve something, you know. But how do you do that? It's amazing. I mean, it's like amazing.
It just, you know, it's like we work backwards. You know, coming back from Washington here, and I met up with the sheriff and the DS from the DSA and the district attorney's office. And, you know, we're going over stuff, and he hands me a map and, you know, finders. So I went back to my hotel room. I took his numbers and what he had written down, and it just didn't feel right to me. I'm looking at on the logical side of things, on the analytical side. And, you know, I always tend to have a little giggle because people overthink things. And so I'm looking at that, and I said, no, it's just not it. And I looked up at my wife, and I took a pen, and I circled a little road, and I circled it about 8-9 times, and I said, that's where she is, and that's where I feel it is, and that's, you know, that's where I'm told to put, and I put it down. And it goes to the same thing as when I was given a photograph of a 4-year-old little boy gone missing in Kentucky. I'm in Canada. It's hundreds and hundreds of miles away, and they're desperately looking for this boy, and they say, help us. So I channel the boy in spirit, and I said, give me his name. And they gave me the murderer's name, Cecil. Not a Bob, John, or Mary. It's a Cecil. And then I said, you know, show him where you are.
So it just comes to you. You don't hear a voice. You don't hear, I mean, it's just kind of a vibration you pick up on.
No, it's actually looking like if you're looking at a movie on TV, you're seeing it. And I get tunnel vision, and I see things that are totally different than you or the next person. I hear things totally different than you or the next person. They want to use you as the catalyst. They want to use you as the point, that the focal point of getting a message across. They're going to do it, and that's how it's done. It's like when I went and took that map, and I circled it, and then I gave it to him. He was stunned. And then we went in his car, And as, you know, they do, and I've been on this hunt with officers and detectives for, you know, every day in the moon. And when we go around, they try to throw you off track to see if you'll say something different. And I kept saying, nope, you're going the wrong way, you're going the wrong way, you're going the wrong way. And then he goes, you know what? He says, you blew me away because of the fact that that's the road that we were concentrating on. That's the road that threw me for a loop. And then when you showed me that you picked that road out of everything, he goes, that just blew me away.
Wow. That's amazing, man. You know, because that it's rare. You know what I mean? I've met a lot of mediums and psychics and people alike who said that they were this and that and the other thing. And I think some people are sensitive and they have degrees of whatever. But, I mean, I'm sensitive. I have degrees of whatever. But, you know, but what you do, you're kind of like plugged in, like right in there, you know.
Well, you know, I don't know if you call it plugged in or you call it turned on or what, but it's just, I just know when people need help, I'm just glad to be there, and I just put everything aside. I put everything that my want or need away, and, you know, and I put them first. That's all it is. It's about it. When you look at a mom, and she's looking, and she's so hollow inside because she wants her baby, and it's her daughter, and you know, you look inside, you're thinking, what the hell can it do? I need the help. I need focus here now. And then it just starts, and it happens. And it works that way. And that's how it does. You know, when you say there's other, he told me in the car with my wife, I brought my wife along and on this case as well. And, cause she usually comes to a lot of different cases with me. And he's saying, you know, they had other mediums write in and they talked, and he said that there was, they just, you know, garbage. And he goes, people are sending this all over and making it a run and what have you. But that's the process. I've been in the office with detectives many times, and they always get discouraged, and you see it in their faces. When they took us down to the second murder case, and we were going away from the first scene, and we got a call over the radio, can we borrow him? And Detective Rich said, yeah, are you well? I said, yeah, let's go. So we went down to this case. It was 1986. This guy stabbed, shot, and then raped this woman as she was dead, and then put her body in a red sleeping bag and said, I'm going to bury the B, capital B, where I can see her every day. That was his words, right? So wow. Back then it was farmland. Now they're digging up $1 million home property. They're digging them up, and they can't find it. And so they get me out there, and I'm looking at the aerial photographs, and I'm getting a sense of listening to the police and looking how distraught they are. There's about 10 of them there. And they're all just, you know, sitting there. They've been on it since 1991. A lot of them, you know, a few years, what have you. And then I just got this pull to my left, and I turned and I looked. And I said, you know, no. You've got to go over here. And we walked about 50 yards. And the detective ran to his car, got the aerial shots. And the other detective, who's been on it since 1991, walks me over, and he goes, what are you feeling? And I'm saying, I think you're in the wrong area. You didn't find her there. You're supposed to be over here in the next property. And when they took the aerial photo and I looked at it and I turned it, and I said, you see how this goes here? And I said, you know, this area here, she's under here. You got to dig deeper. And the guy hugged me. He looked at me. He hugged me again. And then the other detective ripped off his patches off his arm, handed me to my wife. We all knew that they were, that was it then. We just knew that that was the area.
Hmm. Wow. And you know what? it's like I'm blown away because you have so many elements coming together. You know, I just think that it helps so many people. It helps people get closure. You know, I think we just need more of it in this world. Just people like you. But, you know, I mean, how many people are like you? It's like there's not that many out there, you know.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I've been asked that question before, too. I don't know because, you know, I don't know. I just don't care to know. I just know that if there's people out there helping, thank God. And, you know, it's just the way you should be. It should be done that way.
So why do you think? I mean, does it run your family?
My kids see very much. I remember as a child, you know, my mother describing things to me back and forth when I was like 3, 2 years old and growing up, and I'm telling her things. You know, I look back and just see how I became so acquainted with this without being taught, without being mentored, without, you know, my mentor was God, Jesus Christ. And how I've been, and he's been very instrumental to me in guiding me. Because every time I do a case, I pray and I ask for his guidance. I ask for anybody on the other side to help. And they do. If you listen, they will speak. They will talk to you.
And I tell people all the time, like people ask me, you know, how do I talk to people that have crossed over and that type of thing. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of advice from different mediums from the times that I've been doing this. And, you know, and including myself. You know, and how I communicate. And that says kind of more like a vibration, you know, and you have to pick up on that vibration or vibrate up to that level and be open to the experience, you know, because I think everyone's got that mind's eye where they can feel things, have that intuition, you know, or communicate and that type of thing. But your gift is like so much more mature than that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's a good word for it. Because, you know, all mankind has often been described as infantile, you know, like undeveloped in a way where, let's say there was extraterrestrial life hanging around, they would have no reason to talk to us, you know, and that kind of thing, you know, because there's a lot of that going on, and there's a lot of stuff happening, oh man, in that world itself, but I think that your gift. You're there for a reason, man, and it's a calling, right?
I think I went through to be a police officer twice, and on the second time, I quit, actually. The first time I was too young, and I just wanted to be a police officer so bad. It just, you know, this is my calling. This is the way I am. I'm working with them in a way that they're pulling in a paycheck and I'm not. And, you know, it's all good because I look at the fact that at least, you know, you look in the eyes and you get a case done, you've helped somebody, you've done something in your life and you've done it. When you mention everybody has it, you know, God won't give you something you can't handle for the day. He'll give you what you can handle for the day. Some people are able to handle it a lot better than others. And, you know, there are people out there who do have a great gift. I'm just fortunate enough to be able to say, I'm doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I don't envy other people. I don't get jealous of other people and what they do. I just know I'm going down my road, my path, and I'm helping. And tomorrow's another day, and I'm going to help more people. And that's just the way it is. And I hope that everybody else out there who has their path that they're on and that their intuition or their spiritual realm that they're involved in with God, I hope that they're out there helping people too. It'd be better if everybody does it that way.
A lot of ghost hunters I know that like to cross people over, it's a specific thing. And I do the same thing now. You know, we don't walk around in buildings anymore talking to stuff. We get called into situations and help people out, and we're trying to help people understand what's going on, and we have various mediums, psychics that we work with that we can bring in, and, you know, and I never tell them anything when I bring them into an investigation. They have, like, maybe the address, but, but, you know, I want them to tell me, so I'm that kind of person, and then, you know, we help a lot of people, and it's nice, even if we help them sleep at night, even if you're helping someone understand something going on. I mean, we get a lot of people, I just moved into my house and, you know, I'm experiencing this, and this. I can't sleep at night. You know, it's nice to make that communication, and I think there's a lot of people that are called to it, you know. But so I want to say, though, people can find you at robbythomas.net. They can go there. You have several books available. You do private readings too, right?
Yeah, they're there. There's private readings there. Going on tour, and I'm glad you brought that up. Going on tour, I'm going to, we're going to hit about 11 cities. We've got only 4 up there right now, but there's quite a few more cities going up. And unfortunately, And I wish, you know, I could spend all the time reading people, but I'm only going to limit it to 5 people per tour spot, because I want to spend time with other people in the paranormal experience, going through, you know, different locations. I want to spend time with people. I think it's about people. I truly feel that in my heart. So, you know, spending time with individuals on a tour, I'm going out for a reason, and I'm not going out just to play games and, you know, and just, you know, yell out who's here. I want to go and experience with people what they're feeling, and I want to learn from them, and also I want to teach too. So it's going to be a very good venue for everybody.
So it's kind of like a seminar type of thing.
Well, kind of, yeah, but it'll be an action. It'll be like, you know, as you're involved, as we're going through it. I'm going to answer and talk casual with people as well, and, you know, like, I know they're going to want to know about different cases and different places in the paranormal event as well, from, you know, what state to what, you know, over in Europe, to Canada, internationally, you know, what I've done, and you know, it's going to be great. I can't wait to just sit back and just chew the rag with everybody.
So when's the tour start?
Starts in April, and we're going April, May, June, and July. We've got stuff ready, getting ready for August and September and October too. We'll be listing all those as well coming up shortly. Like Kentucky's going to be in there. We're going back to Ohio. We're going back to Indiana. So there's going to be a couple stops in every state pretty much. We're looking at dealers and talking to people in Michigan right now. So it's all looking good. We're hitting quite a few states. Illinois, Ohio, like I mentioned, Indiana, Kentucky, going on and on, Kansas City, places like that. So we're gonna put these things down on the map and label it all out and go from April to probably November touring all through the state.
Wow. So if people are gonna show up, see you eye to eye, be able to say hey, and then 5 lucky people out of each one are gonna be able to get read.
Yeah, and you know, that's the best part about it is I'm going to be eye-to-eye with people that I've talked to for years. One lady, I just had a discussion before the show. I've known her now through social media for 10, 12 years. And so finally now we're going to meet eye-to-eye when I get down to Indiana.
Nice. That's really cool, man. You know, because it's like you do this great work and then people come out and then just like pick your brain about, you know, about this type of thing. And I just think that it just blows me away, because here you have a very real medium working with police solving cases, solving crimes. And it doesn't get more real than that. So for anybody out there that ever doubts any of this stuff, you can't, because it's like that picture of a post that I have. It is what it is. You know, I mean, you can say whatever you want about it, or you can reject it. Some people have like a shot glass mentality, like they can only fit that much liquid in there, or you try to pour a gallon in, it doesn't work. You know what I mean? It just pours over, and it doesn't work out well for anybody. But, and that's cool. So, and you're going to be out there with Keith Ash, right?
Yeah, no, Keith Age, yeah. We'll just change his name to Ash. Yeah, Age, yeah, A-G-E. But we're going to change his name to Ash now.
He's stuck, man. Keith Ash. So he's a ghost hunter, right? I don't know much about him. But I just saw the banner. Probably they're like glasses on.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I've known him for I've known him for many moons. I mean, my first 1-hour television special was 2003. And so I've known him for quite some time.
That's cool. And he's out there. He's the outlaw ghost hunter. He's listed as.
Yeah. He's big on Spooked on Sci-Fi Channel, Chiller, NBC, Universal. He's the host of Spooked. Many movies that he's been in, The Possessed and other ones, you know, with the Booth Brothers. So, I mean, he's been around for some time. And, you know, 30 years in the paranormal or more. He's also a musician, a professional musician, rock and roll star. So, I mean, yeah, he's out there. He's well-known, well-liked, and thank goodness he picked me for the tour, and I'm going to be his caddy. But, you know, it's all good.
Well, I renamed him, man. I get something for that, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's like maybe a Chinese buffet type of situation. I get something. Let's get some chicken fried rice out of the deal, man.
I can't wait to tell him. So, hey, keep on. Right on.
It is cooler. Ash is kind of like the, you know, ashes to ashes type of thing, and I like things that connect, you know. But you,
yeah.
You have a whole bunch of books out. So if people want your books, they can go to RobbieThomas.net and they can find your books there.
Yeah, they can go to RobbieThomas.net, find them there, and, you know, head to Amazon, go to your local bookstore. If they don't have them in your local bookstore, you know, just tell them my name, to Google it or whatever they do, and they get the ISBN number, order it in for you. I got my 10th book. I had to hold off on it. There's a case out of Colorado about 2 months ago. The story has been written. It's in the book. And I worked with Archie Cliff Christ on this case out of Colorado. And the guy, you know, I mentioned the guy's name. I mentioned where he worked. Sure enough, that's the guy that got arrested, was his name, and where he worked, and wow. He's Bert Felt. Her body got found. So you go to trial. 9 jurors said guilty. 3 were undecided, so it's a hung jury. So now they got to retry this guy. And, you know, his phone pinged. There's so many variables, just so much that, you know, just it's him. It's him. And I don't understand why people, you know, get in this hung jury where they can't. It's like that police officer who shot that one guy. We've seen, you know, I'm not coming down on the boys in blue because I support the blue line 100%. But there's a police officer who shoots a man running away from him. And one juror could not convict him because he felt in his heart that, you know, and so it's a hung jury. Well, people are like that. And it's no more about what's right, it's, you know, and what's wrong. It's about if I should convict him, what's wrong with putting, you know, him away and stuff. You know, I look at stuff like that, so now we're retrying this guy. And so I'm going to have to rewrite part of that story or add to it for that book. And in the meantime, Michael, I've been doing more cases, so now I'm going to have to sit down and write up more cases and get the police reports from those cases, put them in there, and the letters from the officers, detectives. And so it's going to take time. This book's going to be huge.
Wow. That's amazing, man. You know, and just, I get it, that frustration when you're like, sure, someone did it, you know, but yet that's also our system of due process. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it might be that one person who doesn't find, you know, it to be true, that doesn't find the right evidence, it doesn't ring true to them, and then they're undecided. Or you could just have that one person who is like that, you know, who's undecided. But usually in the process, like when you're picking jurors, you can kind of see where they're at, you know, and if they some people can't make a decision. Some people can't say yes or no to anything. You know, so and you don't want those people as jurors, but you need people who are kind of worldly and pretty balanced, you know, and not with any hate. And sometimes, dude, that's hard to do, especially in America, because we've got areas of hate, I hate to say, you know, we have areas where any, you know, people do hold things against other people because of for varied reasons, you know. But
I know it's I'm living it. Yeah, I'm living it through certain cases we're doing right now. You know, where one little thread of hate, you know, or animosity towards another individual, that case will now be turned over to someone else because they don't give a crap and they'll throw the case away. And it takes many hats, and it's all political, and it's all the ramification of, you know, go ask this person. I've seen it. I can't believe it. I mean, I've seen it in many cases. And then you look at it when you get to the jurors, you know, and like you and I are just discussing now, you know, three of them couldn't, but they pinned him there. He was there, his phone, his own wife said that he seemed strange and went to turn the lights off at work for an hour and a half and never did it before. You know what I mean? It's just strange.
That's the thing, you know. It's just imagine the frustration. I mean, even in the FBI, where they have these cases where they have all this evidence, and, you know, their hands are tied in a way, but also that's the system. And if you're, you know, also, look at television with the CSI shows and all that stuff out there. If you're a criminal and you're crafty and you're informed enough, you can get away with anything. And that's, that's harsh. Yeah.
It is. Well, you're looking at one case, you know, it angered me now we're talking about this because I'm so indelled in these cases, and I sit in office and I talk to these detectives and what have you. When you look at a county versus county, and they're not very big, so a person comes from one county but doesn't get reported missing because of a phone beep on the pole, and it pings off the pole in another county. Well, you can't arrest an individual for murder without a body because it didn't happen in that one county. It happened in another county. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
It should not be that
way. Right. And it is that way, and there's walls that go up, and, you know, I don't know. And there's also sometimes a lack of willing to want to help when you're dealing with certain agencies, you know. It's just, you have to put a fire under their ass. And then, like I said, in those cases of hate especially, you know, it's not even like hate, it's more of just, I don't care. You know, like, well, I don't care, but it's your job to care. If you're a police officer, if you're, you know, if you work for the FBI, if whatever the heck you are, you get paid for a reason. And I know most cops I know signed up because they wanted to help people. And they do help people, you know.
Oh, they do. They do. You know, and this goes back, you know, looking at this as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, I've had these people say, I want to work with the police, you know, I'm psychic, I want to work with the police. It's more than just saying, I see a tree on the side of a road. It's like I'm talking to you. I'm, you know, sitting in the office going over all the information, knowing what to look for and telling them before they hand you the stuff, but you look like you're right, spot on, and you don't look like a fool. And, you know, that's, you're not wasting your time, the money, and what have you. And that's the reason why, you know, I get called. I get called and I get flown out to everywhere. And that's the reason.
That's the thing.
And
I was working. Well, go ahead.
No, I was saying, that's, you know, when you see people say, oh, I see a light at the end of the road. Well, everybody has a light at the end of the road. What are you talking about? You know?
Right. That's the thing, you know, it's useful information because I was working on a missing persons case, and we believed, just for the evidence, that this guy had fallen or jumped into a river, into the Susquehanna River, anyway, down Elmira, right? So, you know, I called a couple mediums I know, psychics and whatever, and the one, Nicole, she was really young at the time, great medium, you know, she, I think she was like 16, actually, she traced his path. She went from his house to an area. She sat down on the stump for. She said he sat here for a couple hours. She walked to the bridge, and then in the middle of the bridge, she felt like this swirling. She got confused, and it was black, and that was it. So, I mean, by what she said and recreated, you can come up with the assumption that, okay, that was it. The guy jumped into the water. You know, it was done. And another psychic that I know, she said that, and I didn't tell her anything. I just, you know, told her about the situation, the gist of it anyway. And then she said she felt water, lots of water rushing over him, water. And I'll tell you, they found his body, I think 2.5 years later, some fishermen found it when their, you know, fishing season opened. They found his skeleton anyway. And it's useful information, right? So, I mean, Nicole was spot on. She went to that bridge and bang. You know, the other one, she felt the water, but feeling water is not solving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an element.
Yeah. Mapping it out and laying presence to everything is a little different than, like, you know, like I said, seeing a red light at the end of the road or, you know, water. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, I mean, and then there was another case where a woman had kind of local here, she just wandered off, she had Alzheimer's, she went out in the morning. It was winter, and it was barely winter. I'll tell you something. It was in the 35, 40 degrees a whole week. The one damn night she went and disappeared and went down to like 16. Everybody in the neighborhood here, we all joined in regionally, and police agencies came from on the other side of the lake. I mean, it was a big deal, you know, looking for this elderly lady. And my you know, media friend, she said that she saw that she walked down a path and she's sitting there next to some kind of shed. And it's crazy because you want to be able to say, okay, where's that shed or whatever. You know, you're talking about a huge area. There's a ton of sheds. You know, I mean, there's a ton of paths or whatever. But, you know, it's funny. One of my neighbors is like, you know, when my dog got sick and was like, you know, right there at the end, she went downhill because they follow the path of least resistance. And I'll tell you something. The woman was found. She's found next day. She's dead, unfortunately. And it was downhill right from where the guy's house was. But it was like a mile and a half. Straight downhill. Isn't that interesting?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was by a shed. There was a path. There was a shed. So the call was right, but it comes down to useful information. But you see a movie, that's a whole different world, man.
You know? Well, yeah. I don't know how to explain it, like movie sense. It's like seeing it, like I said, getting the murderer's name, where the murderer lived. You know, identification markers, like, you know, the stadium where just left out by this portion. There's a stadium right there. Just narrowing it right down. And then going live and with the police and saying, no, his body's right there in the water. And sure enough, in the spring, he pops up, he's right there in the water. You know, different things like that. That's a little, you know, getting on scene and doing it.
But that's a guy who jumped willfully, you know. But I'm just saying, you solve crimes, you know, and there are criminals out there running around everywhere, man. And I tell people to be careful. You never know what the hell you run into, you know. If someone, you know, a lot of people tend to think with their own brain, thinking that other people think like them. And I was like, it doesn't work like that. You know, I know a lot of CEOs in prisons that definitely say it doesn't work like that, where you can run into someone that will victimize you in a second because they want to, and it has nothing to do with right or wrong in their brain. It has nothing to do with, you know, can they or can't they. They'll do whatever they want to do, you know, and then you're taking these guys off the streets.
Well, the police are taking them off. You know, and it's a good thing. Assisting them
With your help. I mean, like, it makes their job. I mean, it facilitates the job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I can remember being in office where the father comes out and he does his polygraph and he failed it, and they thought, you know, it's him, and I'm looking at the detective, and I said, no, and she believed me, so she knew. And so they said, okay, we're going to let him go. Sure enough, it wasn't the father, and we got the two who did it. I mean, it's a little different, and I'm trying to explain how I see it. And, you know, when they were looking just for the woman, I said, no, you're looking for a man much older, and I described him to a T, and I described what happened, and they asked me, like, how, and I said, I see him hitting her, and that's it, you know, and exactly what took place. And, you know, when your families, then they're reaching out is to write those letters. And when I get them, I just feel, you know, I put them on the website so other families out there can see that and have hope that there's, you know, someone who really goes out and works with the police. And you just call your detective up and they'll see the credentials and they'll pull me in and we'll go and find your baby or we'll go do something. You know, It's about resolve and reprieve, and it's about finding that solace again.
Yeah, because in court, it's evidence. So if you lead them into a direction, and then they find that evidence, that's beautiful, you know. And maybe that you can't testify in court, you yourself, but lead them to a place or lead them to that body or whatever the heck it is. You know what I mean? You lead them,
yeah.
And then that facilitates what they do, you know, and the cases get solved, you know, and you take, you know, you're all taking people off the street, which is beautiful, man. You know, that's what it's all about, is protecting other people, because these same people are going to victimize others down the road.
Oh, yeah, they will. You know, when we were talking about that, I brought back an injury. I remember being the detective coming to the house and saying, I need you in court. You got to just show up, just sit on the bench that I'm going to put you on and just sit there. So I did. And then the break came, and everybody went out for a cigarette, whatever they're doing. I'm still sitting on this bench. And then the detective comes over and says, not to worry, just watch. So there was a plea that was given to the individual, and they turned it down. The guy comes over to me, and he goes, who are you here for, the good side or the bad side? And I said, I'm here for the good side. And he goes, what side? I said, the police. He goes, oh, you mean the bad side. And he goes, who are you? And I said, I'm Robbie Thomas. He walked out the door, go down the stairs, comes back, but in front of him was the lady who did all the frauding of the government, and she took one look at me. She made a beeline for the judge before they reassembled in the court and took the plea.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So I realized then when they came over to me and said, you did your job, thank you very much, and they let me go.
Wow. So there it is right there. You know what? And then we're going to have the show in a couple minutes. People can find you at RobbieThomas.net, RobbieThomas.net, RobbieThomas.net. Put it in your brains. I mean, there's a lot of information there about you and about, you know, everything that you do and TV shows you've been part of and all that other stuff. You write books that are fiction and also nonfiction. You know, Parasylum 1, 2, and 3. Signs from Heaven, Paranormal Encounters, Time Shift, The Paradigm, Dreaming, recording and interpreting dreams. We didn't even get to talk about that, and so many people have been calling me about dreams. It's like, you know, what do you think about this, and what do you think about that? I'm like, dude, I got my own crazy dreams. You know what I mean? I got dreams of the future.
Yeah.
You know, future civilizations and all this weird stuff, and oh my God. But next time, I guess we could talk about that. And people can go to the website and see where you're going to be when you guys go on tour. That's awesome. So what do you want to say to everybody, man? What's your final message?
My whole message is for this Christmas, for everybody, love one another and, you know, and think of other people first and put them first. If you see somebody down, build them up. You know, good words, you know, help them out, because one day, if you're in that spot, you're going to want somebody to help you up too. So just, you know, do that and come out for this tour in 2017. Kicks off in April. Me and Keith Ash will be going all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait
to stick. That's good. You know what I mean? Some things just stick like that, and that's going to stick, man. But but great having you on the show again, man. You know, Robbie Thomas, of course, everybody, and then, I don't know, you and also your book, To You From Spirit, right? And A Link to Heaven. I mean, so there's a lot of stuff that people can dive into to learn more about you, but also more about maybe stuff that they feel, maybe stuff that they think they're part of. You know, like, there's a lot of mediums out there, you know, when they're young, they're told that, oh, you're crazy, there's something wrong with you. Like, I know a lot of people that ended up getting psychiatric help from their families because they were seeing dead people around the house and you know, having all these experiences,
yeah.
So. But people can learn about them.
Yeah, no, you're not crazy. No one's crazy.
Exactly. So, okay, but we're going to end the show, man, and then... You have a great Christmas. You and your family, you know, I'll see you out there, of course, on social media and all that, man. But my Christmas message is just, everybody, try to love one another, you know. You don't even have to like one another, but you can love one another. And just, if we're not together, then what are we? We're just a fragmented world, you know, and it's all about togetherness, no matter what people believe. And all their religion all leads back to one God, actually. So, it's all about what we believe and the love we have for each other. You know what I mean?
Amen to that, brother.
Okay, this is Michael Angley and Robbie Thomas on Discovery Paranormal, UPRN, United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, and 104.7 Pastor John.